We're still on shame. Now again, in our culture, we confuse shame and guilt. Guilt is when you feel guilty about doing something. Shame is much deeper. When you're rebuked or something happens, you feel as if you have no right to exist. You're mute. So we're going to keep looking at it for a while in regard to the cross. The cross defines or declares that we are redeemed from the past, from the shame and guilt, both of the past. Go to Galatians 6. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, glory is a word that I can't pronounce. It means to bring into importance something either bad or good, so that whether or not it's even whether or not you can define it. Remember, there are two types of idolatry within us. One are the graven images. First are the graven images, and these are images Tom is the best one to look at, sometimes Gary, where you have all these opinions. And all these opinions about politics or sports or appearance or all these things, they're graven in the walls of your mind. This is the way you think things should be. It's how you define whether something is good or not. And the other form of idolatry are what's called molten images. And these are the images that have been fired in, normally in early childhood, and they've been created where you really don't have a control over them. It's something that happens. You think you don't have a control. Something happens, something is said, some rebuke is made, and you immediately respond on a knee-jerk basis. Somebody can say something, and in an instant, that person is judged down. Without thought. Boom! Now, some of these molten images are rather easy to get rid of because you're just a matter of confession. But shame is a molten image that is the mother of all others. And it's this thing when each one of us has something that it's even more than a knee jerk, it's deeper. And your response to if somebody rebukes you, or it's just automatic. You feel ashamed. You feel somehow as if you have no right to live. Your response to it is silence. Your response to it is there's no facial response to it. It's as though you feel like you want to crawl into a hole. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Never felt that before.
Yes, you have.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Jeff, what's wrong with you?
I'm sitting over here.
That's no longer his job over there. It's
he goes to this seat? Okay, now I understand why you took my seat.
Thank you, Bob. You got a little turn back home tonight.
Now, the cross, if we really picked up the cross, has victory over shame. Because shame is simply the other side of the coin of pride. When you have pride in accomplishing something, or remember when you were a little kid and you couldn't wait to get home to show your report card, or you either by the opposite, you figured out some way not to show them your report card.
Yeah, I lost it.
What?
I lost it.
Get it.
Lost it.
But the message of the cross overshadows and blots out all of these things. Shame. What?
I heard something you said when you were reading it earlier about the world is crucified and me and I am in the world. And it's like, boiling it down, there's nothing in the world that can give me life. I've seen it. I know there's nothing there. And there's nothing I have that can give the world life. Escaped that the relationship that is so precious to many. All.
There's a scripture that I don't know where it is right now. I think it's Colossians. Yeah, Colossians chapter 2. It's just a few pages beyond to the right of where you are. This is a biggie. Starting verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. And if you received him in a point of deep need, just tiredness. So you walk in that mindset. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Then beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. But it just should say, is putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. And this is the next one. Now read it carefully. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, in the court system today, at least before computers, When you had an offense against you in the courts, then and it was taken care of by deferred adjudication, they would, if you looked at your record, there would be a line through it. Now the computer just takes it away. But when there's a line through it, people, if they look, could still see that offense that you were guilty of. Understand? Now, computers are a good point, but I want to... This... the handwriting was still visible of the offense, is what I'm saying. Paul does not say Jesus crossed out the debt, Rather, he says it's wiped out or blotted out, the handwriting. In New Testament time, the ink was made with soot mixed with gum. Because the ink contained no acid, it did not stain the papyrus. A wet sponge would completely erase the writing, just as the cross erased our debt. It is gone forever. We are to function as if it never was. Now, that's a biggie. But it never is and never was because you are dead. You understand that? You're buried.
Are ordinances just laws that we break, or?
Or anything. Most of them are ways of behaving that you think is right. But they're all the laws of the scriptures, and they're also the laws of society. So, by your death and burial, all is gone. It's wiped away. One in scripture says they're all buried in the depths of the sea, including all the issues of your shame. Your past is gone completely. But unfortunately, or fortunately for God, you have the capacity to resurrect all of it. You can't resurrect just a little bit. You resurrect it. The moment you give importance to something in time and space, you resurrect the whole beast. Understand that? You can't just say, "Well, I agree with that part of it, but I don't agree with this part." You're either all dead and buried, or you've resurrected. And if you resurrect yourself, or he, the resurrection of the evil one, which you've always been anyway, then you've resurrected all of the shame, all of the guilt, all of the trespasses. So it's either black or white. It's either on or off. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. Either you accept your death, you were buried in baptism, you live only by faith alone, or you continue to go back and have visitation privileges with the evil one because you think you want to do this and that with your mind. Anybody understand that?
Yeah.
We look away from ourselves and we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith for everything. Walk in a total emptiness. And in that emptiness, all you do is respond. It'll be rebuked because you'll respond incorrectly. But he is now totally the way. You are no longer a part of the way. He doesn't teach you the way. He is the way. He doesn't give you life. He is life. He doesn't show you truth. He is truth. There's no middle ground. Everybody agree? And so the reason we exhort one another daily while it is still called today is because every tendency in you is to respond by the senses. That's what the Bible says, responding as a brute beast, because you're just responding by your senses as opposed to by faith. And this is what you think is impossible. There's got to be a place for my mind somewhere in all this. No. By faith alone. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now let's go to Romans 4. ever tell you my Bible's falling apart? Verse 4, chapter 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, and this is worketh meaning what? Worketh meaning, it's the word porneo. It's the work that you have something to do. To him that worketh is a reward not counted of grace, but now you just put yourself in more debt. Understand? You got something to do. And watch. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. And it's Christ in you, the only hope of glory. There's no in between. It's either all him or all you. To him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That happens instantaneously if you think you have something to do other than meet another's need.
Other than what?
Meeting someone else's need. It took him 100 years to believe God. Not in just one place, or hundreds where he didn't.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. Faith sees only the one place, and the preaching of the cross sees only the one place.
Yeah.
There's never justified in between.
Kind of good that God looks at it that way.
Well, you got to do it too. You got to look at it the same way God does. Homologio, confess. Doesn't mean you confess he exists. It means you say the same things. You see the same things. You hear the same things. But if you justify no faith, then God help you.
Well, Abraham did that too, right?
When he did everything wrong.
But I'm just thinking of Hagar.
Oh, that was, yeah, there's a jillion of them. Why is she? That's not my wife. You can have her. Because he was trying to please the king. That's not my wife. That's my sister. I mean, he did 6,000 things wrong, but it never justifies you doing it wrong. The once you justify it, then you're dead meat. Everybody understand? Because this is the only way. This is what it means to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you do that by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of your mind is it's only him. It's all, everything about you is gone. All you do. The whole thing. Remember the meal offering. It was only, that's what it's about. It's about only helping others. That's the only reason you exist. There's nothing, and you're not in the picture. And that's why this place, in here, of all places, must be the offering of the peace offering. If there's any issues, you take them outside. But in here, there's peace. Everybody understand that? That's what we talked about last night. You bring nothing in here except an empty vessel. And you share in the peace offering, and that's what sustains you and gives you life. Because you're seeing that you're eating of the flesh of the peace offering. And yet that's the same offering that gives God satisfaction. It's the same offering that gives Christ satisfaction. And it's the same offering that must give you satisfaction and sustenance.
I can see that circle. It's you become the meal, essentially. You are only there to give life to others.
You are the peace offering and you eat the peace offering. It's like, well, this whole world of Christians that are praying for peace in Jerusalem. That's never going to happen because the new Jerusalem is always peace. We pray for that peace in us of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of that exists in Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is our only life. Taking no thought. Because you're seated with him on the mercy seat. But you must test everything. Everything but that has to be seen as empty. Otherwise you'll continue going back with visitation privileges. Then you'll justify going back. We no longer define ourselves by any aspect of the past. But if we define ourselves by the aspect of the past, then we raise the whole thing again. We let go of all of ourselves. We let it go because it's dead and buried in baptism. We are only defined by him. As he is in this world, so are we. We are defined only by his finished work. It is finished. Now you can, you know, I know people get upset when I say you must. Well, again, it's location of sphere. Either this is all what's going on if you're on the mercy seat, this is all what's going on if you're off the mercy seat. There's no in between. Most of Christianity is still in the world. They know their sins are forgiven, but they're hiding under the blood of the doorpost. Waiting. Something's going to happen when I die. Then I'm going to do something.
Yeah, you know, I was used to think that if you weren't on the mercy seat, you were on the judgment seat. And it was about you judging others. And after listening to you today, it just sparked something in me that we're not on the mercy seat. We're judging ourselves. I do constantly and judging others.
The minute you judge yourself, then you by definition have resurrected yourself.
So the judgment is outward and inward.
Doesn't matter whether it's in the between, it's still resurrection of yourself. There's no, if you're in the picture, bad or good, you've resurrected yourself. Because you've got him that worketh. Is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt.
This table has a question.
It's not about what we're talking about.
What?
It's not about what we're talking about.
But it's not only what he did. I mean, it trumps everything we've ever done, and it trumps everything we ever were. That's the cross. I am determined to know nothing among you, said Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And there's no more. You know, that's what people do. Do you ever notice that if you're back in the if you're back into self, that you have an armory? It's a place you store your weapons, and you remember every little thing that anybody ever did to you, so that you're going to get even, or you can justify yourself with something that somebody else did to you, or especially in marriages. You've got an armory back there. Because you're letting something define somebody else. And if you were doing it for somebody else, it means you can't resurrect. You have to resurrect all to get back to that armory where you've got all those hidden weapons. Next, I can't even start it in the next part until we, because we don't have time. That was a joke. All right, what do you want?
Thanks, Ellen. I'm having a real hard time with this mess at work.
And then I want you to only see one thing. There and in everywhere, you see yourself as their servant. You're never right.
That seems really unfair.
Oh, you want to use fair?
Yeah.
That's the F word. That's totally and completely. You want to use fair? Then let's look at your life. You want to be judged by your life?
No, I had a pretty fast living life.
Well, then don't worry about fair ever again. I never want to hear that F word come out of your mouth.
Well, alrighty then.
There is no fair. You are there as a servant. Because that's who Jesus Christ is.
But
with no recognition of your own rights. What?
None of them were Jesus Christ.
No. That's not the point. You know... No. You are their servant. That's how you are a witness to them. Never justifying yourself for anything.
I don't get that.
Well, I know you don't. You want something that's due to you. You want some respect or something that's due you. Well, the minute you want something that's due you, then God has to demand everything that's due him from you. You either forgive from the heart or God can't forgive you. That's constant, never ending.
So every day I live, I've got to forgive everything that happens to me.
Everything, and everything that ever did happen to you. And because without it happening to you just as it did, you couldn't have seen what you see today. That's the only, that's the complete definition of freedom. You have no rights. You are a servant.
Hmm. I wonder what that
way
was, but okay.
Oh, it gets worse. He'll tell you later on that you have to thank God for all the bad things that happened to you because they bring you where you are.
Well, I can understand that. You have to...
Then you have to forgive everything, not just something in the past. You forgive it. It's a constant.
Never mind. I'll say it, but I won't.
Well, go ahead and say it. You're thinking it.
Yeah. Is there like any 5 minutes where God ain't looking, where I can just get it over with?
You want to get even?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it feel so good?
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of people that say they're a Christian and smack somebody around.
Well, I don't care what anybody else says. I care what you say.
Well, that's what I've been thinking for the past week.
Well, then you've been thinking wrong.
I know
that. You've been thinking as it's just a common, ordinary hunk of flesh. That's what all the hunks of flesh do.
So are you saying you have a hit list?
Has that, any of that worked for you?
I haven't done it in the last 2 years, 2 months, and 17 days.
Well, have it, did it work before then?
Well, it appeared to be.
It did?
I don't know.
If it did, if any of it worked, you wouldn't be here.
Well, that could be true.
What?
That's true.
Well,
it was very good.
Well, then stop thinking anything worked.
Okay.
And not stop resurrecting your weapons that don't, that all of your weapons don't have any ammunition.
Only they've got dust on them from years.
They don't have any, there's not even any ammunition. You got a gun without bullets.
I believe that.
Well, then just rest in it. It's the only place you'll find joy and freedom and peace of mind.
But if there's any loopholes, let me know.
I spent 12 years studying every word in this book for finding a loophole. There are none.
Okay, well, I thought I'd run it by you.
If you find one, be sure to let us know. Some of us would just as soon get out, too.
Take a big shot.
Can you talk to that other girl that's bothering me then?
You have to forgive her right now.
Well, you could probably make her cry.
Oh, I'm sure I could.
Well, I'd go for that.
You still want revenge.
That's good revenge. Trying to make her feel better.
That's good revenge. That's good. We ought to write that down somewhere.
That's good.
I know, Sue.
Let me put that down in the note file.
I know, Sue. This is hilarious. You can't let this fucker in the sense. There needs to be a skit.